So, did anybody adopt that hymn as a prayer? Peace be still. Isn't that what God wants for us? Peace? So here's the question, class. Are we still? Or are we caught up in the chaos of life? I'm going to ask that question again. But that's just how the Lord had prompted. I mean, I got prompted to the point where I couldn't sing the hymn because it was like, man, whoever picked this hymn did a great job. Because it is the precursor to the sermon. The way Shara was praying, her opening, I wish the mic had caught up all those powerful sentences she just proclaimed before she even began to pray for our requests. Well done, good and faithful servant. You know, we stand up here and we profess Christ because Christ is the way we're going to make it through this life. Yes? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for this time. I pray that we would be attentive to your word and we are going to be in your word. I pray that it speaks to us, that we wouldn't take it for granted or just muse through it, but we would pick it up and listen and learn from you. That we would recognize life experience as what you use to draw us closer to you. So I praise you, Lord. I thank you for these hard times. And I pray that through them, you would be able to have your way in us. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, would you agree that it has been a difficult 18 months? Or maybe just a little bit longer? Maybe your life was unsettled or chaotic before COVID, but it has been brought to a new level. I mean, it has impacted the way we live our lives and has affected our jobs and our life. And we have been turned upside down. Well, maybe you guys aren't, but sometimes I feel like I can't go another step. Is it safe to say that life has seasons of good times as well as bad? In both cases, we can be so easily distracted from the real purpose of life. Has anyone figured out the purpose of life? What are we on this planet for? To what? To glorify God. Really? We were created to love and worship Him. And for those of us who profess Christ, we're practicing on earth what we're going to be doing in eternity. For eternity. So why aren't we rejoicing always? Why are we beaten down? Because the truth is, we live in a fallen world. It's not perfect. It will be made perfect. And until then, we press in and press on. So take time to honestly answer this question. Another question. James, all you do is ask questions. But I ask the question to me first. Does Jesus distract you from the busy activities of your day? Or do your schedule and activities distract you from Jesus? Jesus is the one who makes order out of chaos. He's the one that removes the distractions that make our life unsettled. But for some reason, we try to make it on our own. I've said this before, I'll say it again. God, I'll get with you as soon as I get things handled down here. Turn that upside down. God, I can't go another step. Will you get the things down here made right? If you would like peace instead of turmoil in your life, you must take an action. You must change your focus. We've been talking about this now 5 weeks. So to do this, I'm going to suggest you take a good long look at your priorities. Ponder these questions. What would it take for Jesus to be first on the list of the things you have to do today? What would it take to do that? Make Jesus from the bottom to the top of your list. For Jesus to come first in your family activities, what would that take? Or how about in your life experiences for the future? Are you going to have him first? Because I want to tell you, when we do our part, keep Jesus first, he promises to do his part, bring us peace with God. All too often we leave that truth on the table. So this is one of the best parts of the sermon you want to put your listening ears on. Consider Romans 5, 1 through 11. You have access to these verses in your Bible. You can read them any day of the week, any time of the day. This is what it says. Since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into the grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we rejoice in our suffering because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. And character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. Why wouldn't we use that gift? Why would we leave that on the table? Because there's one in this world. You see, at just the right time, when you were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, for you, and for me. He gave his life for me. I'll give my life for him. That's fair, right? Paul goes on to say, since we have now been justified through his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Our relationship has been made right because of Christ. I've been saying we can't do anything to get right with God, but allow him to do a work in and through us. And sometimes that's painful. And maybe it's chaotic. But God chooses to use those to draw us to him. So we say, thank you, Jesus, for this tough time, for the stuff. I forget what your Sunday school class said a couple weeks ago, the stupidness, or there's plenty of stupid. That's what our children are learning in Sunday school. There's plenty enough stupid to go around. And it's true. Yeah, there you go. So that was the sentence. And that's from Billy Graham. Isn't that the... Go to Sunday school. It's good for the soul. And maybe skip the adult class. Go to the kids class. Hey, whoever... Just say. I digress. Colossians 1, 21 and 22. You can write that down. Colossians 1, 21 and 22 reminds us, once you were alienated from God, you were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you. He has made you right by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free of accusation. When we take the action, God makes us right. Through Jesus. That's the power of the cross. And we apply that to our life. We walk under that covering every day. Right, church? And we rejoice. Right, church? Yes. Ephesians 2. You know, a couple weeks ago, I asked you if you would read Ephesians. Has any, well, I guess you can't put a show of hands up. But think about it. Have you read the book of Ephesians, 6 chapters? That was my invitation to you 2 weeks ago. I have. If I'm encouraging you to read it, I read it. Or I have read it, but I read it that week later. Ephesians 2, 14 through 18 says, "For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace. And in one body, to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who are far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit." Don't take advantage of that. Pray. Allow the Holy Spirit to lead your prayers before your day begins, as your day goes about, and certainly at the close of the day. Galatians 5:22 and through 25 says, "The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace." And that's where all the pastors go and all the rest. Love, joy, peace. Yeah, and those other ones, the kindness, the gentleness, the goodness, the faithfulness, and the self-control. "Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." This is the sentence I want you to hear. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. That's not my suggestion, that's Paul's. And he was prompted by God. Be still. We sang it just a second ago. It's not a suggestion. It's come close to me and I'll come close to you. Not me, God. God says that. We talked about being out of step last week, and I shared that when we live our lives out of step, we lose sight of our position in Christ. Do you know who you are and whose you are? And what happens when this happens is we begin to reap the benefits or the consequence of disobedience. We put our risk at, put ourselves at the risk of growing cold towards the Lord. And becoming angry with him. We never want to find ourselves in a position where we are not dedicated to Christ. No matter what comes our way, I will serve you, Lord, in the good and in the bad. So I ask, what one thing can you do this week to keep in step with the Spirit? To keep your eyes, your heart, your mind fixed on him? That's what God's Word says. I've been saying focused on him. Same idea. How about read a Hebrews? Thank you, I wrote it down. 12:1-3. The book of Hebrews, just the first 3 verses, because I know 6 chapters is too much. Or read Isaiah 26:3-4. Great verses that give the child of God something to stand on. Hebrews 12:1-3 reads, "Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race set before us." With perseverance, fixing our eyes on Jesus, focusing our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him. Think about it. What he endured. Consider him who endured such opposition from us, from sinners, so that you so that you will not grow weary or lose heart. I can't go another step, God. And we say, take this burden from me. And he says, no, I'll go with you through this burden. Isaiah 26, 3 and 4 tells us, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord himself is the rock eternal. So who gets the perfect peace? Everyone. No, those who keep their minds fixed, focused on him. Prayer is one of the most important activities in our lives because we're actually talking to the God of the universe who has the power to change every circumstance of our life. He has power and he has knowledge. He understands how we feel. He knows how we think. And he has the power to intervene. And he's willing. Why is it, despite the Lord's willingness to listen and answer our requests, we're not always faithful in prayer? Things are going good, so we forget to pray. Thank you, Jesus, for the hard times, because that's when I take a knee. Or maybe if we're waiting and waiting and waiting, doubt creeps in, and we doubt he's going to answer. Be still. Wait on the Lord. He is faithful. The biggest hindrance to our prayer is sin. If we are unwilling to acknowledge our sin and ask the Lord's forgiveness, we will have no desire to pray to a holy God. It's not going to happen. The Apostle Paul wrote to believers in Thessalonica who were suffering under Roman domination, which is probably pretty close to where we are today. He said in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, these familiar words, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. In other words, prayer should be a priority in our daily lives. Is that your first response or last resort? Paul wasn't saying we should continually mumble prayers every minute of the day. Without ceasing means a continuous reoccurrence. So when things are going good, we say, thank Jesus. And when we lose our car keys, we say, Lord, help me find them. That's praying without ceasing. Prayer isn't so much constant, but it's offered frequently throughout the day. Unceasing prayer is a way of life. It's not something we just occasionally do because there's turmoil in our life. It's not something we put a tag on at the end of the day or before a meal. God wants us to focus our attention on him consistently as we go about our day. Persistent. In Luke 18, 1 through 7, Jesus taught a parable about a judge and a persistent widow, which reminds us God always hears our prayers and provides our needs. Have you experienced that, class? Then I will say, pray more. Or wait longer. Jesus told his disciples this parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. This is what he said. In a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God or cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge said. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night, will he keep putting them off? If we're his children, we don't have to beg him to listen to our requests. We are to come boldly and confidently before the throne of grace. Are we doing that, class? Church? In all circumstances, good and bad, are we going before the Lord? We don't deserve His mercy, His grace, His love. He freely gives it to us because of our relationship with Him. He loves us. Even though we started with a yuck, we were dead in our transgressions. We were lost without Him. Even though when we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And we have the authority to go to Jesus broken and fouled. I do it every day, and I ain't perfect, and I never will be. But I pray every day, maybe not without ceasing, but frequently throughout the day, and that prayer can be, thank you, Jesus. True prayer requires a relationship with God. It's the foundation of our faith. Those who have rejected Jesus have no basis for approaching the Lord in prayer because they have no access to Him. It is only possible through His Son, Jesus. I'll tell you why. Because John 14:6 reads, Jesus answered, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one, good, bad, or indifferent, comes to the Father except by me. No one can bypass Christ and expect the Lord will grant their request. Are you right with God? There's one request, though, that He does always answer. When someone is willing to humble themselves, confess their sin, and receive Jesus as their Savior, the Lord will forgive them and welcome them into the family of God. That's the prayer you want to pray. And then your prayers are going to be hooked up. There's a difference between true and false prayer. False prayer is all about self. We pray what we think we deserve. We focus on what we want. That's one-sided, selfish, rude. True prayer comes from a sense of humility, realizing that we come before God on the basis of the Lord's mercy. Not by the way we live our life. Prayer is more than just giving Him our requests. True prayer is the way we grow our relationship with the Lord. All relationships require a two-way line of communication. Instead of just making our prayer request, we must listen to the Lord. The Bible is the primary way He speaks to us. Our prayer time should include Bible reading. That's your quiet time with the Lord. My quiet time is at 5 in the morning when nothing is going on in the house so I can be focused on Him. And my prayer before the cover is cracked is, Lord, speak to me. And when I don't understand, I say, Lord, help me understand. Shara said, and He is faithful. He is faithful. The Bible repeatedly tells us to devote ourselves to prayer. Another good reference to write down would be Colossians 4:2. This is not a command. This is an instruction. This isn't a suggestion. Colossians 4:2 says, devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Devotion requires that we not only set aside uninterrupted time for prayer, but we also consider what we're asking and why we're asking. Is this going to glorify Christ, or is this going to make me feel better? Why do you want what you want? Why are you praying for that? So I make a right decision so that I bring honor and glory to you? or so that I have a good paying job, or that the kids don't beat me up at school, or for whatever reason you're praying. What and why am I going to the Lord in prayer? The time we spend in prayer affects our lives and how we live them. It's the way God chooses to meet our needs. The instruction of Philippians 4:19 tells us, God will meet your needs according to the riches of glory, according to the riches of His glory in Christ Jesus. He comforts us when life becomes chaotic by assuring us of His presence and His willingness to help us in our time of need. But we need to take the time to ask. And then we need to be willing to listen. I want it now. It's mine. I want it now. And God's like, hey, you take one more step. Trust me. I'm going before you. I have a plan for you. God, I don't see it. Take one more step. I'm going before you. I'm with you. I'll never leave you. God strengthens us in times of temptation. Listen, as we seek His help. I'm tempted. Well, move on. 1 Corinthians 10:13 assures us, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will provide a way of escape. Did you ask Him for the way out? Are you hoping that He'll just take it away? Did you take the action? God is faithful to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness as we confess our sins through prayer. It's the truth of God's word. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and He will purify us from all unrighteousness. All my sin. When I confess. I take the action. I do my part. He does His part. Prayer is our source of guidance. As we seek the Lord's direction, as we read, as we ask. Psalm 32:8. I just stumbled into this 2 weeks ago. And here it is again. Psalm 32:8 tells us, I will instruct you. I will teach you in the way you will go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. God is watching. He's all-knowing. He knows what we need before we take that step. God helps us understand His word as we read and ask. Don't just read His word to tick the box. Well done. You're so churchy. Ask Him. And don't take another step until you hear from Him. Prayer shields us and it protects us from the anxiety and worry when we give God full control of our life. Take the action. I surrender all, Lord. He provides the grace we need to make it through every day, no matter what this world throws our way. Have you experienced it, church? Through prayer, God brings emotional and physical healing as well as guidance when we're confused about the things we're experiencing. I don't know why my life is upside down right now, but I know the guy who does. And He will reveal the answer in His timing, which is perfect, reliable, trustworthy. All the time, seek Him first. He's the Almighty Great Counselor. We receive the Holy Spirit's power, which strengthens us to face the difficult times. Have you picked that power up? The power of Jesus, His shed blood, the power that He's been risen from the dead, has been applied to us, child of God. When we pray, we are building an intimate relationship with God. And we experience His unconditional love. So to determine if your prayer is a priority in your life, ask yourself this question. How often do I pray? What prompts me to pray or hinders me from praying? They're the questions we need to answer. What must I do to make prayer a consistent part of my day? Take a knee. While you're driving, you don't have to close your eyes. You can pray. I have a neighbor who walks through the neighborhood with a stack of cards about 3/8 of an inch thick. He goes on a prayer walk every day. He's not a pastor anymore. He actually invited me to go with him. I might take him up on that. But you know, when you pray, things happen. So I probably won't take that walk with him. You're sitting there going, what? Why wouldn't you pray? Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Why don't we pray? Why don't we pray? Lord, I just ask that you would give us a boldness that only comes from you. That one or many or all would come today and ask for prayer. That they would trade the chaos the world has to offer for the peace that surpasses all understanding that you have to offer. God, I pray that you would give us a new understanding, a new boldness, that we would walk in your strength from this day forward. And all God's people said, amen. Amen is let it be so.